Welcome. It's Saturday, May 3rd, 2014. I'm Debbie Quain, and you're listening to episode, I think it's 368, of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm recording today's show from the Washington, D.C. metro area. By all accounts, it's beautiful outside. I've yet to venture to make sure that truly is the case. If you're passionate about planning weddings for others, this is the place for you. Visit weddingsforaliving.com to learn more. You'll get free articles and tips about being a phenomenal wedding planner. If you're interested in running your own part-time wedding planning business, you know, sort of being like the day of wedding coordinator and running your own gig, and you need some help, some step-by-step guidance, please visit weddingbusinessguide.com for downloadable forms, audio classes, and much more. And a very special welcome to each and every one of you here, and a special mwah to the Wedding Business Guide members. I'm just taking a look at the chat room, which is at confettilive.com. I see we've got folks from all over Chicago. Is it Lomita? I can't see if that's an R and an M. R and an N or an M. Lomita, California. Good morning, Muriel. And, oh my gosh, 7 o'clock over there, right? Whoa. And Clarissa's here. Yeri's here from Dallas, Fort Worth. Super. Nancy from ATL. Good morning. Wonderful to see you. Thank you so much. Got a lot of information that I want to share. We got quite a few questions that came in. So in case you don't know what the deal is, hold on, I can't hear myself. I'm such a narcissist. I can't hear myself. Okay, there it is. I hear myself now. What was I saying? It doesn't take long, right? I got quite a few questions that came in from the month of April, so I'm going to try to get through those today. As always, please post your Facebook, your website, your Twitter handle, Pinterest, whatever URL or whatever mode of communication you would like others to use to connect with you, just post that in the chat room. The chat room's at confettilive.com. I know several of you are listening on the telephone, but and welcome, a special good morning to you. Feel free to jump over to confettilive.com to type in the chat and just say hey and so forth. So I got quite a few questions, but I do want to get through a few shout outs. Can't believe I'm using the term shout outs, but just some people that reached out and I want to acknowledge them. So if you reached out to me and I'm missing your name, please, please, please. I'm very sorry. I try to catch everyone's name and I know I'm going to miss someone. This is what happens when you name names. So I want to say shout out to Kashanda in New York, Yasmin in Sri Lanka, Veronica in Las Vegas, Veronica in the New Jersey, New York area, Kalisha and her associates in Detroit, Michelle in Australia, Larissa in New York, upstate, I believe, Courtney, Yeri, who I know now is in Dallas, Fort Worth, Britt, who sent a great question about social media, Stephanie, sent me a comment about my wrap-up video. Celestine, I hope I'm saying your name correctly. Jen with the two N's, J-E-N-N. Deborah Amaray, who got a great spotlight on a wedding that she did. Stephanie, Tracy, Nancy, Washington Weddings and Events. And Clarissa, Miss Shop Taste Dance. So a special shout out to you. Again, if you reached out to me and I missed your name, I'm sorry. I tried to get everyone's name, but I wanted to say thank you for communicating and your comments and feedbacks. Hi, Brittany from St. Louis. Do I say St. Louis or St. Louis? St. Louis? Is that how you say that? St. Louis? Sorry. Idiot on board. So let's jump right into this, right? Which is the first one I want to tackle. Okay, let's see here what Veronica sent a question. Louis. Okay, thank you, Brittany. St. Louis. Okay. So Veronica sent a question. She says, Debbie, I'm at a point where I want to grow my business and start networking with local vendors and creating more marketing for my business. My goal is to train two new people about wedding day coordination so they can attend the weddings while I spend more time working on the growth of my business. The only issue I'm facing is that I am not currently booking any weddings. So there isn't enough cash flow to pay for part-time assistance until business picks up. What I need is to have an understanding with whoever I train that they will only get paid when a client books us for a wedding. I have two unpaid interns starting with me soon. Okay, wrong emphasis there. I have two unpaid, on my part, sorry. I have two unpaid interns starting with me soon and was wondering if you had any other ideas for my situation. I've heard you also throw around the independent contractor terminology. I'm an avid listener to Confetti as well. You're very smart and funny. Ah, thank you, Debbie. Please help. And that's from Veronica. Thank you, Veronica. Okay, so isn't that a great point? I like how you're thinking, Veronica. So you're ready to get people on board, but business isn't quite there. So, you know, what do we do? So the first thing I want to say, oh, let's see. I have to say this. Good morning from from San Antonio. Someone's in the chat room from San Antonio, Texas, and I know you've been in the chat room before. So you're giving me the phonetics of how to pronounce your name. Tangi is what your friends call me. Sweetie, I'm going to stick with Tangi because I'm going to botch your name. Tangi is what I'm going to call you. Good morning. Thank you for clarifying. I don't want to mess up your name on the air. I hate when people mess up my name. They assume it's Deborah and it's not. It's just plain old Debbie. Okay. So thank you. So let me getting back to this question. So what do you do? The thing is, you've got to look at it the other way around about, you know, any fee that you're charging for your services, whether it's day of, full service, decorating, design, whatever it is, you want to make sure that you figure out what your expenses are first. That's what I do. Now, you may have heard me say the first wedding that I did, the first day of, I did it all on my own and vowed never to do that again. Tough to manage a wedding on your own. So you have to decide what you're going to pay your event day assistants and build that into your fee, not the other way around. Because I hear a lot of times people say, I don't have money to pay assistants. Well, you have to make money. You have to make the money there by charging your clients for your assistants. You build that into the fee. So using nice round numbers, because I don't want to embarrass myself with my math, if you're paying your assistants $100 a day and you realize you need two of them plus you, that's $200. So whatever your fee is for day off, you've got to build $200 of that, you know, is going towards your assistant. So you have to build that into whatever the fee is that you charge your clients. So you always want to go that route, not the other way around. Not, okay, I want to charge $500. How am I going to pay everyone? It's got to be the other way around, right? Veronica's saying, though, she doesn't actually have any booked business. So she's concerned about paying staff because she wants to have them trained. So one of the first weddings I did where I had staff, a couple of them were actually friends. I think most of them were friends. And we did the wedding. It was more than day of. I was involved in the planning process, which I was quite capable and was able to manage by myself. But the day of, it seemed like there was a whole trail load of us there, at least four or five of us there. But the mistake I made, I didn't really train everyone. So what I did was we had bodies, there were people there, but I hadn't given them enough instruction. They didn't know what to do. So we kind of moved like a gang. When I moved to the left, they moved to the left. When I moved to the right, they moved to the right. So no one was independently doing their own thing. And it was because I hadn't given enough instruction telling each person what they were responsible for doing. So really the goal is to have someone assigned to, you know, the reception area, a couple people usually, someone assigned for the ceremony site, someone if they're taking pictures, if the bridal party's taking pictures between ceremony and reception, to have someone on board to oversee that. So that's a bevy. It's a lot of people, right? But you have to realize how much you're paying. And, you know, everyone doesn't have to get paid the same amount. You know, someone may only be there for a few hours, or someone may be way more experienced than the other. So, they can be different rates. You've got to decide how that works. So the thing is now, how do you deal with training? How do you figure out, how do you pay people if you don't actually have any booked wedding business? Well, the beauty of what we do, and it took me a while to realize this, people are happy to learn about weddings if you're willing to teach them without you paying them to do so. And what you have to do is you set it up as free wedding planner training. Because it's such a desirable field, you're going to get takers. Think if you have a wedding business right now with a website and a contact form, or your website and your telephone number, I hope you do, you're probably getting quite a few inquiries about people who want to shadow you, or they want you to mentor them, or they want to intern or work with you. Those are the people who would just be so happy when you're announcing that you have a free wedding planner trainer course. So it's kind of tough. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to train people. They're going to take all my ideas and go with it. No, you can't think of it that way. I did for a bit. What you have to do, Veronica, not have to do, what I could suggest for you is that you set up, you figure out what the curriculum is. Curriculum sounds like very serious, but you really, what stuff do you need your people to know? They need to understand about the wedding rehearsal. They need to understand the basics of going up and down the aisle. I'm saying it that way, but you know what I mean, right? They need to understand how the flow of the reception goes, what you would like the ideal wedding event assistant to know. That's what you got to think of. And I promise you, if you offer that training or position it as a class, free wedding planner training, you're going to get interested applicants. Great. You're going to get an opportunity to train people to know what to do for your business. Keep that in the back of your mind. You're going to get takers, as I said, because it's a popular thing, wedding planning. You're also actually going to position yourself as an expert, because once you hold up your hand and say, I'm training people to be wedding planners, automatically, oh, she knows what it is. She knows what's going on with weddings. So even though you're attracting people to learn wedding planning from you, you've just elevated yourself to expert status. So Veronica, my suggestion is to be bold enough. I say that a lot, but I know it's sometimes we don't think of ourselves that way. But if you have a wedding business and you're looking for clients, then you've already told me that you have the knowledge of weddings. So share that knowledge. You can make it a half day class. You can make it a full day. You can break it up. You can do a Saturday morning, not when confetti's on. No, I'm teasing. So, you know, you have the class and you get people. And I bet you if you tell friends and family, if you start there and tell them that you're doing this, if you share this with your vendors, you're going to get more people than you would ever want. You can limit it to 10 people because there's a scarcity thing. When you say there's a limitation, all of a sudden people want to be part of that. Oh, I got to get in on that. She's only got 10 spots. I want to be one of those people. Then you have a waiting list. So once the word gets out and you're doing these classes on a regular basis, maybe do them one every other month, once a quarter, if you have enough people, once a month. You get this waiting list of people. Guess what? You can start to charge. Yes, you can start to charge for your wedding planning classes. So you're making some money. You're getting qualified applicants. And the way you position it is this. You say, I'm offering wedding planner training. The information I'm giving you is actually going to be a good starting point if you want to start your own business. I know. That sounds like competition, but don't worry about it. I promise you. But also, as we're booking clients, we would like you to come on board and contract to work some of our weddings. Ooh, I'm going to get to learn weddings. I'm going to get a chance to work with someone. And you could even position it this way. You could say, you know, you can do your first two weddings. You know, the first two weddings that you work with us are unpaid. It's your way to your learning. So you don't even have to pay them if you don't want to. You can tell them once you've worked three weddings with us or two weddings, then the third wedding will start paying you. This is your way. It's almost like a probationary period or introductory period. And that's what you can do to get people in your area trained, get attention for yourself as an expert, and also make some money after the course picks up. I don't know if you're going to be able to get money right out the gate. You might if you're, you know, established enough, but you got to take some time to figure out how you want to do this. Wedding Business Guide members, I'm coming up with some strategies for us to do this. So this is just a way to get people in your area to be trained without you having to worry about paying them. Believe me, you're going to get people that are willing to take this class without you compensating them. And you can have them, you know, sort of shadow you when you're doing a wedding rehearsal. Even if you don't have the wedding, you know, don't have clients, you can still sort of do a role play. Talk to your vendors, which you should be doing anyway, to find the space. I'm sure there's a studio or somebody's got space or one of your venues like one of the slow nights, like maybe it's a Wednesday or a Tuesday night, you can do it in parts. You could do it like, you know, Tuesday night from 6 to 8 or from Tuesday night from 8 to 10 or Wednesday from 8 to 10 for a couple of weeks. And then, you know, everyone's training. Come up with a curriculum. Think this through. Don't just wing it. Think this through. It's not really wedding planner certification, but you can print up a certificate of completion, and it's all formal that way. If you limit the number of people and have a waiting list, it's sort of like people want to be part of that. And let them know once they've completed it and they've done two actual weddings, either with you or maybe another wedding planner that you partner up with, you'll bring them on board. Okay? So a good way to sort of get some people trained and ready to go for your business. Okay. I hope that helps. Let's see. Okay. Oh, Kate is from France. Hi, Kate. I hope you get, I'm waving like a clown. I don't really understand what's going on here, but I enjoy reading your posts. Kate, this is an informal, friendly group of wedding planners who, and new and aspiring and, experienced. And the first Saturday of each month, that's what I'm going with right now. We did the live broadcast and I'm reading questions and answering them as best I can for people that have submitted them. If you go on weddingsforaliving.com, it's a little convoluted actually. You can submit your questions. Sometimes they're comments and I'm trying to answer them and I'm looking at the chat room. So people are answering and responding and chiming in, which I love. So that's what's going on. And see, everyone's there. Everyone's saying hi and nice to meet you. We're a friendly bunch here. Today, it's just audio. I didn't do the camera. There's just so much going on. So, Veronica, I hope that helps. Kate, I hope that answers your question. I kind of jump from place to place. I do that. I get a little excited. So, you also mentioned, Veronica, in your question. Let them know that you don't have to focus. You know, you're not going to get paid. Instead of saying, you know, I can train you, but you're not going to get paid. This is how you say it. I'm going to give you free wedding planner training, you know, at no cost to you. I'm going to show you what I know and get you started. It may not be enough to get a business going, but it's going to be a great start for you to know what happens at a wedding so that you can, you know, do what we need. You can help us, meaning you, your company, help me, my company, execute a wedding day flawlessly. That's how you say it. Don't say I can't pay you. Make it seem like the benefit's for them. And it is. You're giving them free training. And as word gets around, you know, send out a press release, update your Twitter, tweet about it, excuse me. Socially challenged with social media. And, you know, let everyone know you do. Make a big to-do. Get family, friends, make posters, whatever you want to do, but make it a big deal. Limit the number of people so people are lining up. Every time someone calls and says, I want to know about, I don't know if you're hiring or if you shadow, you know, you have an intern spot or whatever, tell them about this training program you have. You can even create a separate website about that. And, you know, that's another way to get yourself in, you know, set up another stream of income, you become the local wedding planner. Someone mentioned this I think it was last year, about a woman that's doing this in Louisiana. And she does the class, but you have to pay to be part of the class. You're not coming on board until you pay to be part of the class. People will do that. It's a local thing. And automatically now she's gotten in with a few venues. So a lot of these venues will refer people back to her. You know, she's the person, got to go through her to come through to get to us. Okay. All right. Nancy's saying, I've seen people charging for wedding planning courses here in Atlanta, where I've seen it from $20 to $400. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So as we say back home, if you know your onions, you can do this. You just have to be bold enough to, you know, get it going. But take some time to think about it and plan out a curriculum. So I like the idea of doing the give to get. Some free stuff first so they can see and make sure that everyone who signs up does a survey and gives you feedback, testimonials, and then you can start charging. Okay. Veronica, I hope that helps you. And we have, you know, you mentioned that you have two unpaid interns starting and was wondering if I had any ideas about that. Okay, I'm going to tie that in with another question that came in. And you said I use the term independent contractor. Independent contractor is another way to go. Really what that means is someone who's already an independent contractor versus employee means you're not telling someone exactly how to do something. They've just got to come up with a finished product or service. Sort of like if you're a general contractor doing building a house, and you get the plumber in, you don't tell the plumber specifically how to do his or her job. You explain to the plumber what you want done, the specs, and then he or she completes that, and then you pay that plumber. So you can do the same thing with your wedding business. If you're doing so well, you've got so much business, you can get other wedding planners who maybe don't have a wedding that weekend to come and work a wedding with you. You just pay them whatever the flat fee is, and you may have to pay them more than someone else who doesn't have a business. Sometimes, not always, okay? Speaking of which, I'm going to share some feedback that I got back on the listener callback line from Pam, who had a question about interns. So it ties in nicely with Veronica's question. Let's see if you can hear this.
Hello, my name is Pam, and I am from Memphis, Tennessee area, and I'm a wedding planner there in the Mid-South area, and I would like to know about interns. I would like extra help using interns. I understand that they usually don't get paid, but I probably pay them for some of their gas get to the more important meetings of the day of it, at least the gas money at least. I don't know how to go about getting one, and I have a contract made up, if I ever did come across one, to protect myself and them. But how do you feel about getting an intern? How would I go about getting an intern? I thought about just putting advertising on Craigslist, but later it might go into a paid position. We might go in together with one with the business if we got along and worked well together. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Okay, thank you, Pam. I hope you can hear. I hope you were able to hear the audio. So, excuse me. Take a sip of water here. Interns. So Pam wants some feedback about getting interns for us wedding planners. Not a bad idea. So to be completely transparent, I've thought of it, never had any interns. So I called a couple of people, other business owners that I know, and asked them how they deal, you know, what their feedback and feeling was about interns. So the first thing that I thought of on the top of my head is, you know, really understand what an intern is and isn't. I believe, me personally, that if I want an intern, I have to be willing to mentor and train that person. I am now taking on the status of being a mentor, because an intern being, you know, and the other thing is, there are two types of internship, right? There are paid internships and non-paid. Some require college, some are for college credit. It really depends. And there aren't any rules unless the intern is requesting college credit. Okay. So whatever, if the intern is doing the internship to receive college credit, then the school university that they're attending will provide the guidelines. Those are the rules. Okay. But if it's not to get college credit, then it's really up to you. Also, don't be mistaken that you need to have an official business in order to have an intern. And I'm doing the air quotes with official. You can be a sole proprietor. You still have to have running a business, but you don't have to have an LLC or be a corporation. You can be a sole proprietor and have an intern. But you have to think this through and decide what it is that why you need an intern. An intern is not a substitute for hiring an employee. If you need an employee or independent contractor, however you want to word it, that's something different. And the whole role of being part, you know, getting an internship is it has to benefit the intern. You know, if there's no benefit to the person who's the intern, there's no reason for them to do it. And also remember, for you, all the training, because you do have to train, and energy that you put into this person, you're probably going to lose that at the end of the internship, unless that person comes on board later on. So you have to be ready to give this intern the tools and the resources that are necessary to do their jobs. You need to be providing regular feedback and direction, you know, regular meetings, asking them, are you happy? And if you have a lot of people, if it's more than just you who's running the business, then you may have to, you may decide to have a dedicated person as the mentor. It may be you or it may be someone else. So just wanted to make it clear about, you know, those things that come up. If you, in order to find an intern, you can check with your local schools and see if, you know, what the requirements are, depending on what course that person's taking. Remember that someone who's an intern is and is not being paid, it is a bit of a financial stretch. They're coming in to work for you with no compensation, but there has to be a benefit for them. It's not a situation where you're getting, you know, for an unpaid intern, just a free an employee that you don't have to pay. So, you know, develop your credibility. I'm a firm believer in documenting this because I'm so anal. And this is where your documentation comes in handy. If you have systems in place of how you want things done, it's going to make your life and the intern's life, so much easier. Onboarding materials. And when I say onboarding, I'm referring to the process of bringing someone into your company. It's sort of like that welcome mat that you extend. You know, let them know that. And it could be something as simple as a one pager with the do's and the don'ts. If they're going to have access to social media, because I've heard a lot of wedding planners, several wedding planners wanting to get someone on board to help them with the social media aspect, giving them usernames and passwords and things like that. And I believe, you know, the equivalent of a survey, which would be almost like a performance evaluation at the end. So can you afford to pay an intern? Because if you can't, then you have to give them enough. There has to be enough justification for them to come to you to work as an intern. Do you have steady work? And realize that an intern doesn't actually have to be local. Maybe, especially if they're doing like the social media, they could do that, you know, virtually, remotely. And I know Larissa, who's in the chat, is familiar with the virtual assistants industry. So it's kind of, you can have an intern in that capacity too. But, you know, it's a good way to get your company up to speed. If you're lacking in the documentation in the systems department, then getting an intern, bringing someone in will get you lickety split. You're going to get things in order because you want to be ready for them when they arrive. Use your network of people that you know, family, friends, business, you know, vendors to recruit. And also consider a probation period. You know, it doesn't, just because someone's interning doesn't mean it's going to, I hate to say, it doesn't necessarily have a happy ending. So you can decide, you know, let's give this a go for, you know, 3 weeks and see how things work out. Again, it's important for you to provide them regular feedback too with regard to, you know, their progress and what your expectations are. But you have to give them, there has to be, what's the word I'm looking for? A benchmark. You have to say what it is that you want, and you have to be specific. It can't be general. You need to say how you want things done. If they're answering your phone, how would you like the phone? How do you want the phone answered? You need to explain to them how you want them to describe your services if they're taking calls for you. So, Pam, I don't know if that answers your question. I know you're looking for guidance, but again, to be fair, I've never worked with an intern, considered it and sort of dismissed it because sometimes I hate to sound ignorant. I think I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is more trouble than it's worth. Meaning I needed to get myself in order and decide what it was or what it is that this person would be doing for me. Call the colleges, call the universities and ask them, you know, for guidance. What do they suggest? Another good resource is to go to SCORE. If you're here in the United States, Society of Corporation or something of Retired Executives. Oh, I'm awful. Something Core of Retired Executives, which is basically people who are entrepreneurs and are no longer doing that or no longer very active and are willing to give you advice for free. Your tax dollars are paying for that. So visit, you know, SCORE or SBA, Small Business Administration, to get their help and guidance. And I'm willing to bet that someone there, probably several people, will be able to give you some guidance about how to work with an intern and things like that. So I don't know if that helps, but, you know, think this through. I hear this a lot, but just remember that it's not a substitute for hiring an employee. If you need someone, you need someone. And if you're at the point where you need someone, that's good. That means money's coming in. if you're just overwhelmed, then it's a different scenario. You've got to come up with some systems for your business. So I hope that answered your question. Anyone in the chat room, if you have any feedback about interns, if you've worked with interns, I'd love to hear about it so we can share some more information with Veronica and with Pam. Pam, thank you so much for calling and leaving the message. I love hearing your voice. It's good energy for what we're doing. Larissa said she was an intern. Larissa, what kind of company was it? Sort of like more in the corporate environment? You said you were paid $25 per what? Curious. So think about it. You know, and this is the cost of doing business, the same way you would pay for rent and, you know, your utilities. If you are going to offer pay and get an intern that's paid, I believe I could be wrong. I thought it had to hit, you know, work. I thought it had to tie in with the minimum wage for your area, but I could be wrong. Oh, Service Corporation of Retired Executives. Thank you, Princess. That's what SCORE stands for. Larissa said she was paid $25 per event. Oh, okay. Was it? Did you feel like that was a good exchange? Did you get valuable information? Larissa's saying long work hours, but because I was learning and set up as an internship program, she gave a flat fee of $25. See, that's not bad. If it's actually a wedding that you're being paid for and you want to go that route with the intern, you know, the internship, then you can do that. You hear how I emphasize on the different syllable, internship. So, you know, you just think it through. That's really interesting. And you said you were paid via PayPal. Yeah. Larissa said, I think she was also covering herself via the IRS new crackdown. Okay. Yeah. You know, you don't want to just have someone working and doing a whole lot of stuff when it really is, you know, when you need an employee there. Okay. All right. Good feedback. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. I have another question here. From Janice. Okay. Janice asks, several people have asked me to decorate the tables for their wedding reception. Do you have any idea the price range of how much I should charge per hour, just the labor, if they provide the materials for the centerpieces? Okay. When it comes to doing the decor, I am going to give you limited advice because I can't give you a price range because it varies. It depends on what you're doing and the time involved. But I will say this. If you are providing decorating services, wedding decor, and you're also a wedding planner, you should be charging separately. Don't roll it all up into what you're doing. If someone's hired you for day of, and I know Wedding Business Guide members, we talked about this, right? You're there for the day. You're not there to create centerpieces and set them up. You've got to draw the line and say, you know, if the centerpieces are already assembled, we will place them where you need them to be placed. You're not there to construct and, you know, set things up and put this piece in here and get these pots all out of the box, rearrange them, put moss and all the rest of that. If you're doing that, you've got to be compensated for that. So to answer Janice's question as best I can, with, you know, without, I can't really give you a price range, but you say, should you charge by the hour or just the labor, you know, and materials? Are you buying the materials? Are you building? Are you assembling? You've got to account for all of that. And even if you are buying the materials, if you're buying them wholesale, let's say someone just hires you for decor and not planning. If you're buying, you know, it takes widget A, B, and C to make each centerpiece, you know, one of A, one of B, and one of C. And widget A costs, I don't know, $1. Widget B costs $2. And widget C costs $3. You can charge them directly. You know, you can figure out your fee based on the wholesale price or maybe mark it up a little bit. It really, really depends. And I'm not an expert when it comes to decor. I did stop by the local IWED Institute of Wedding and Event Design. They did a class in March. And I know they go over stuff like that, you know, how to price. Event Pro Training, which is Wendy Binn's stuff. I actually left her a message. She hasn't called me back. Is an online resource explains to you, you know, how to do design, draping, centerpieces, but also talks about pricing. And I think in the past, Event Pro Training, you would pay an annual fee or a larger fee, but I think she's doing it monthly now. So my suggestion there, Janice, is to reach out to someone in the design world that can help you. I know Preston Bailey and the Wedding Planning Institute, I think they're tying in and doing some things. There's stuff all over. And I started to create this resource page for Weddings for a Living. And then I went on another site. I'm kind of going off on a tangent. And I saw this resource and it has some really great links there. But I was wondering, well, do I need to create a resource page if it exists somewhere else? But I'm going to go ahead and put it up anyway. So I'm going to probably release that in the next coming weeks, which is sort of different places to go for certification, different places where you can get wedding planner, join a wedding planner association, different places where you can do, event design. So I'm limited in the information I can give you there, Janice. But if you are doing decor and you are doing planning, price separately. Someone hires you to be a wedding planner. You don't want to build in all that other stuff. You got to set it up, almost like you're a different, same way that they would hire a photographer, same way they would hire a caterer. It's almost like they're hiring a decorator, which just happens to be you, but you bill separately. Okay. I hope that helps. All right. Just looking at the chat again. Brittany's asking Larissa, were you paid for admin type work? She's asking, I guess, with response to her internship as someone who worked for a wedding planner. And Larissa's responding, I worked as an assistant. And Larissa goes on to say, I set up reception, move furniture, clean up, setting up escort cars, etc. So, I said this before, got me into trouble. You get to decide as the owner what help you need. But again, remember, I keep saying it, but when I speak to people, I'm not insinuating that's what Pam was saying or Veronica was saying in their questions. But I sometimes think that wedding planners think it's just a substitute when they really need an employee. So it's got to be a two-way street. It has to be something in it for them. They've got to learn, and you are getting some help too. It's going to put you in a great position as the owner of a business to instruct people who are paid down the line. And remember how you do things. Come up with some structure. Make sure that you're explaining to them, this is how you do something. Let me show you. I'll show you this is how I do it. And then say, okay, now you try. Or let me show you one more time. Okay, I want you to try it, and then we'll evaluate. You make sure you let them know, okay, this was good. And I like to give good before I give bad. You did that really well. I like how you did this, but you really need to work on doing such and such, like I showed you. Or this is a better way to get this done in less time, and so forth. And make sure there's enough back and forth so that there are no surprises at the end. If you do a really good job with your interns, people are going to, same way like we were talking about the training, people are going to want to come in as interns. You want to make it so valued that people, and you can make it, you can make the process a little difficult. Maybe they've got to, do some testing, or they got to write and, share some information, whether it's a short essay or something. I'm not trying to be, you don't want to make it completely difficult, but just to give them, it's not just a cakewalk. They've got to make some effort to show that they are worthy. Really, they're worthy to be an intern of part of your organization. So sit down and think of how you're going to streamline this. All right. Larissa said she should have been allowed in on shadowing and meetings and so forth, but she wasn't. Okay, so that's something to think about when you want to do your own setup. All right, I have another question that came in from Brenda. Did you hear the audio for the last one that I did? Could you hear Pam's question? I'm just asking you in the chat. Clearly I could, but I just wanted to make sure that you could hear the audio because I'm about to play one more. Let's see.
Hello, my name is Brenda and I'm from the Washington, D.C., Maryland area. I was just listening to your talk live and you just provided great information. But with that session, I had two questions. The first question is I wanted to know when you mentioned about you were saying, how do you get people to know about you? What kinds of things can you do to let people know that you're out here and that you're ready for your business? And the second question was, is it that adequate to tell people your prices? I have one particular incident when I told them my prices and they completely just spazzed out on one of my packages, and she just completely started cussing me out, and it just was really bad. So it kind of made me weary on telling people or verbally telling people what my prices are. So I didn't know if I was, embarking in bad etiquette by letting people know your prices, what my prices are. So those are my questions. Thank you. Great information on the your website. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. I hope you could hear that. So Brenda had two questions in her recording. And thank you again, Brenda, for leaving the message on the talkback line. Really, really good to hear the feedback. Okay, so first part was, how do you let people know that you're ready and, ready and ready to go? So I'm going to ask you in the chat room what you think, because, I've said this before. Not that it's gospel or it's the only way. I'm just curious as to how you would respond to Brenda's question. I'm going to come back to that part. And I'll wait to see some of the responses. And then she mentioned a question. She mentioned a point about sticker shock. She said somebody cussed her out when she told them what the prices were for her packages. So she said, is that bad etiquette? It's not bad etiquette, but I hope you don't think I'm, shamelessly plugging, but these are some of the things we talk about with Wedding Business Guide. So when we did our live marketing call in March, no, April, I talked about, I believe that when someone says people don't want to pay my fee for wedding planning, I think that's BS, because I believe if you're presenting something that's valuable, a value to someone, that someone's going to buy it. But it has to come across as being valuable. And if people are responding negatively to your prices, then it's usually one of, I said three things. It's a couple of things for sure. First of all, you've got to make sure about the industry and your competition in your area. Is there a demand for what you're offering? Do people get wedding planning? This is what we're talking about here. Are people paying for wedding planners? Do people have the money to hire wedding planners? Because if they don't, then it doesn't matter what you provide or what you share. They're going to think it's too much. There's no value in that to them. They don't get it. The second thing is, it's how are you presenting yourself? Because if your prices, if you're pricing your packages in a way that you're getting a constant response that that's too high, there's a disconnect. It means that the way you're packaging and presenting yourself doesn't match what you're asking for. Tough pill to swallow. But if you want someone to pay you $2,000 for wedding day coordination, then you've got to look like a company that can do that well, that is worthy of that fee. But if you've got, and I'm not suggesting that this is what Brenda is facing, because I don't know what her website looks like. I don't know what her marketing materials look like. But if I go to your website and it looks, I can tell that it's being hosted on a free server, for example, like something else dot, and then I see your name.com, or it looks like it's been pulled together by your 15-year-old, niece or nephew. When I call, I can't get through. Or if those things are presenting themselves when I, the customer, come to you, then it doesn't matter what you I can't justify the price that you're asking for. $2,000. But if I get to the site and it looks fabulous, oh, I'm seeing some great testimonials. You've got some great pictures of weddings you've done. I can read your articles. You're sharing some content. Maybe there's some press clippings. It's not the, I do some searching around. I can see your name being mentioned in a few places. Then the idea of paying what you're asking for is beginning to make a bit more sense, even if I thought initially that it was too high. But if I do some digging around, it doesn't take much digging, then it might, I want someone to just call me at least to reach out and speak to me. But if I don't have that's the other part, the packaging. But also, if you're getting clients that are just don't have the funds to pay your fee, then something is attracting them to you that shouldn't be, because your marketing should be clear enough that sends a message to the person that comes to you that says, okay, this is for me or this is not for me. And I think in our class, I use the example of going to the department store like JCPenney and going to the department store, which is Nordstrom. Both department stores, but they're different price points. Although JCPenney kind of jazzed up their stuff When I went in there, even places like Kohl's, kind of like, oh, you know, it's got some of these celebrities coming in. And I'm not saying that in a condescending way, but they're different. Okay, so something closer to our industry. David's Bridal and going to the Vera Wang store for your dress. Different, different. So, you know, when you go to David's Bridal, I mean, it's a nice place. I've been in there. I actually worked there for a hot second. It really was a hot second. I couldn't stand the sales aspect. But when I, you know, David's Bridal is still nice. I mean, the fixtures, the furnishings are nice, but it's different. Vera Wang, you're not just walking in. You've got to make an appointment. You know, it's different. So you have to decide, where am I? Am I high end? Am I low? Am I sort of like more for the budget conscious bride? Am I sort of middle of the road? And then you'd have to decide and commit to that and say, okay, well, where are these people going? What do they look for? And then I'm going to present that for them because these are the people that I want to attract. I know the jury's still out about putting pricing for your services. I like the idea of giving people an idea. So if my lowest package is $500 on my website, without going into way too much detail, I'm probably going to say, we have packages that begin at $500. So at least that lets someone know, oh, okay, that's within my price range. Now, the $500 package may not be what they want, but at least it gives them a starting point. Because if my lowest package is $2,000 and someone's calling me thinking it's going to be in the $500 price range, that's a disconnect, a huge disconnect. But if my packages are $2,000 and this person has maybe $1,500 to spend, $1,600, they might call me. Because they might realize once they talk to me and we get together that they see the value of the extra money and, you know, the extra fund, the cost, and decide they want to go with it. Still, ultimately, it's their decision to make, and it's my job to make the connection. Because that's really all marketing is. It's connecting what you have with the people that want it. That's really it in its basic format. You know what I mean? So, you know, Brenda, I think that might be a part of what's going on there. I don't know without seeing. And I'm going to have to, you know, make some notes when I, on the question thing, is that when you're asking about marketing, it's helpful if I know a little bit more about what it is that you're doing, because then I can position and answer the question the best way. If there's details about your business that you don't want me to share, then just say that. But, you know, in order for me to give you an answer that will help or try to help, it's good to have some background information. Okay. Oh gosh. How did you say I could say your name? Was it Latanji? Tanji? Okay. Miss James. Sorry. Okay. Her comment in the chat. Brenda, first and foremost, don't become discouraged. 25% of the people you engage with should think your prices are too high. Remember, you're not trying to help everybody, just the ones who seriously need your help. By the way, profanity and vulgarity are a key indicator that she wasn't the caliber of bride you were looking for. Hear, hear. Yeah, the cussing out thing was like, what? Yeah, go, run, yeah, disappear. You know, when you're going to get tire kickers no matter what, and you're right about that. But, you know, you do want some people that think it's a little high, but there has to be desire. You see, it's different. You got to understand the difference between a deal and value. If it's something, you have something that I want, and you clearly have something that I want, I'm going to probably find the way to get the money to do that. Because more times than not, when I settle, me, Debbie, I regret it. I'm like, man, I got what I paid for. If I just held out and just waited until I got the money, I would have been happier. Larissa says, I'm a member of Wedding Business Guide. It's been the single best investment I made. Ooh, thank you, Larissa. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Brittany says, my experience has been that much of the wedding is in the planning pre-wedding day. I'm wondering, how do you pay assistance for those logistic meetings, vendor meetings, et cetera? Oh, okay. I'm going to come back to that one. Because you're asking about paying. Okay, I'm going to come back to that, Brittany. Nancy's saying, oh, I agree. Wedding Business Guide is filled with so much info, and Debbie really goes in on these topics, pricing, value, marketing, so much more. One of the best investments I've made as a wedding business owner. Thank you, Nancy. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Wedding Business Guide, just so you know, is to help you when you get to the point where, okay, I'm ready to do this. But what I'm trying to share with you is stuff that I've seen, stuff that I've experienced, and saying, you know, you maybe want to try this, because wedding planning is a huge industry. You know, it's a huge umbrella, but there are some things that you can do. And sometimes, you know, it's not really as difficult as it sounds, but you have to make the commitment. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on this area. I'm going to do this really, really well and get some of these systems in place. And I think what happens is a lot of us, when we're new wedding planners, we want as much business as we can get. And we feel badly when we don't, when we, you know, we're excited, right? When we get the inquiries, and then it's sort of like, man, when those people don't want to do business with us. But as, is it Latenji, Miss James? I'm going to say Miss James, sorry. says, the profanity and the vulgarity, you didn't want to deal with that anyway. And, you know, when I first started, when I did do the initial consultation, a lot of times I would get this gut feeling that I wasn't going to enjoy working with this person. And each time I went against that gut feeling, I regretted it. I regretted it for whatever reason. You know, this is not like, let's make a deal. These are your prices. And, you know, you've got to be confident in your prices and say things in a way that you stand behind them, which is why I say, you know, giving people a starting point. If this person was so upset about your pricing, I'm wondering if she was just, I mean, again, was it the packaging? Was there no indicator of how much it's going to be? You know, if you're contacting Preston Bailey to do your wedding, you've got an idea you're going to be spending some money, right? Right. It's you're prepared for that. Maybe not, depending on what he says or his staff member says to you. But it kind of matches. You kind of see what Preston Bailey's doing. You see where he is. You see whose wedding he's working on. So, you know, it's up there. So you're prepared for that. The packaging matches that price. Whether or not you can afford it is something different. Tangy. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Tangy. That's how I'm right. Let me write that down. Tangy. Okay. By the way, she's asking, can you join Wedding Business Guide at any time, or does the program run from January through December? That's a good question, Tangi, and I never thought to address that. Wedding Business Guide, I set it up in a way that you pay for 12 months. And the reason I did it that way is because I wanted you, the person thinking about it, to realize that in 12 months, I want you to get going. I think you can do it in much less time than that, but I was trying to give you a kick in the you-know-what to just take action. Because if you pay for something for 12 months, you know, okay, I've got to get the ball rolling. But it's like there's a roll. It's rolling information. There's going to be, we did the last live class. We kind of like do a boot camp session, like 4 weeks straight, where we're just kind of going over all the content that's on the site. So the site has three modules. The first module is about how to take over a wedding, because it's all about day of coordinating, okay, Tangi? How you take over someone's wedding. The second module is about getting your business going legally, at least here in the U.S. And then the third module focuses on is a collection of forms, downloadable forms and things like that. So what you do when you become a member, you get access to that. There are videos, there are audio classes. You can do it self-paced, but know that at least once, it's going to be more than that. At least once for the year, there's going to be a boot camp session where you're going to get all of the, we're going to go over everything in live sessions, sort of like the ramp it up so you can get going. And there are going to be classes, which I'm going back to doing monthly, going in depth. Like we did a class last year, Larissa, remember, I think, about how to do your own talk show for, you know, using that as a way to market your business. This last month gone, we talked about getting the marketing going, and I touched on the websites. We're going to talk about that. We've got upcoming classes about, I'm thinking using video, networking, and what we just talked about here about getting your staff, how to get your staff ready if you're bringing people in. And I also want to touch on doing this training thing, how to train people in your area. I'm not doing a very good job of explaining, but using that as a way to get qualified people in your business and also to make some extra income. So yeah, that's the kind of stuff that goes on there, but it's rolling, meaning whatever month it is, you'll get 12 months from that month and so forth. Okay. And then you get to decide at the end of 12 months if you want to renew and go through it again, but it's different information, but the different live information, but the information that's on the site is on the site. It's there. It's information that you could use today, take all of it in and get going. Okay. All right. Okay. So that was my, kind of got off there. But I hope that answers your question, Tangi. Thank you, Larissa. Pure juiciness. So, you know, you've got to decide which side you're on. And I always come back to, I managed to get it in every show, the niche, the specialty. What are you doing to make you stand out? Because when you take a niche, when you do a specialty in wedding planning, like whether it's a certain area, certain type of wedding, certain ethnicity, certain style, you know, wacky weddings, theme weddings, day of weddings, encore weddings, Jewish weddings, Asian weddings, you know, Nigerian weddings. When you take a stand and say, these are the weddings that I specialize in, then certain people gravitate towards you. And then even though if your prices are slightly higher than the general wedding planner, they want to do business with you because you're doing something very special and it's tailored to them. And please know that when you specialize, it doesn't mean you won't get any other kind of business. You can't do any other kind of wedding, excuse me. It means that you're going to attract a certain type of client. But then when they come to you, even if they don't fit that niche specifically, you can still decide, okay, I want to do their wedding. I like this person. It just puts you in a different class. It really does. But, you know, to answer your question, I think the idea of just giving people an idea, and when you screen people on the phone, you should be doing that before you meet with them. You know, you ask them, first I always ask, what date? When are you getting married? And then, okay, tell me, what are you looking for? Have you planned most of the wedding already? Are you right at the beginning? Have you started and become overwhelmed? What's going on there? And I let them talk. And then based on what they're saying, then I can say, well, I think I have, you know, I'm in a position to help you. We have packages. They range in price, and the starting at the $500 price range. If you'd love to talk to you a bit more because I think I have something that's going to work for you. And when we meet, I can give you more details. It's just a conversation. But if someone's saying, I've got $5,000 for a wedding, I want to get married Saturday in June, and we want, you know, 150 guests in the evening, I'm going to have to say right then and there, well, you know, my fee is going to take up more than half of your budget. So that's probably not going to work for you. But, you know, I've got some tips that are available on my site, which is why I love the idea of having a separate kind of online magazine site. Check that out. You know, sign up. I can share some tips with you. If you'd like, I can sit down and consult with you for 2 hours. The cost for that package is, you know, $150, and I'll give you all the information that I have and set you up some great vendors, and you can get started there. But honestly, based on what your budget is, this is what I can do for you, and this is what will fit in, okay? So it's just that conversation. But you have to set yourself up in a way that you're getting enough of those calls that you realize that you're heading in the right direction. So it's you know, a little bit more detailed, detailed response, but I hope that helps. Okay. All right. Well, I had another question, but it came from Kenya, and I'm going to play the question, but it speaks to what I was saying earlier about not being able to answer the questions in the way you'd like me to. This is Kenya's question.
Hi, my name is Kenya, calling from Decatur, Alabama. Excuse me, I have a cold this morning. I've just started out here in Decatur, and I guess my question was how to grow the business. I'm marketing, I'm advertising, and I'm getting leads here and there, and I'm actually booking weddings. So I really want to know how to grow in my first little initial appointment. I guess, am I saying the right thing? Thank you.
Okay, so Kenya wants to know how to grow her business, and there are different ways to do that, and just realize I need to go back to the first part of Brenda's other question because she wanted to know how to let people know about her business. I forgot she did say that, right? So there are different ways to let people know that you're ready to go. Let me jump back there. Sorry for going all over the place there. When I first started my wedding business, I sent out a friends and family letter that says, you know, I'm into weddings, basically. That's what it said. I'm into weddings. I've taken the leap. I've made it official. This is my business name. You can find more information here. If you know, and what I did was I asked them if they knew of any vendors. At the very beginning, I latched on to vendors. And to be honest, it was because I was nervous to ask for, it's funny. I was nervous to ask for clients. So I simply said, if you know of any vendors in the area, any great vendors, can you please send them my way? And that's what I did. And people didn't feel pressured to send in, you know, send contacts. So it was great. This was, you know, several years ago, but I got a great response. I let people know I'm in business. I'm ready to go. You can also do something similar that asks for clients. And, you know, in hindsight, that's the way to go. But you've got to say what it is that you're doing that's separate, different. So, like, if you can say, okay, I specialize in same-sex weddings, then people know who to send to you. Or, you know, I'm doing real high-end home weddings. People know, your family and friends know who to send to you. But my, you know, the biggest thing for me was going out and talking to vendors, because vendors, although a lot of them kind of look at us wedding plans with disdain because a lot of us don't stick with it. Once I got out there to meet them, it was a good experience, and they started sending clients my way, because I would, and then I couldn't find a wedding planner to shadow. So I would say to the, you know, the florist, well, can I just come sit with you next weekend? Are you doing a wedding? And if not, then I'll just help out here. Let me see what you do. Let me see how you assemble bouquets. And it's because I don't know enough about flowers. And just in doing so, I got such a good response. I'm like, hey, maybe I'll say that to the next vendor. You know, after I met with them, by the way, you know, if you have, when you're doing an event or if you have some space for me next week, I'd love to come and just help you for an hour or two. No fee to you, of course. It'll be a great chance for me to see how you do things and so forth. And we would just talk back and forth. And then it was just reciprocal. They would want to send business because I was kind enough to spend time with them. So for me, those were the two big things. The letter I sent out to family and friends, a real letter with a stamp. And then because I wanted to show off my new stationery, got new stationery for the business, and then meeting with vendors and following the same process with them. So, you know, a lot of different things. I'm curious as to how, you know, how you're doing that. But that's my sole, hands down, best way to get, you know, get things going, let people know I'm open, I'm ready to go. And of course, with social media, you can do the same thing in, you know, different avenues. So Kenya, growing your business kind of ties in with that. There are lots of different things, but give me an idea, if you're listening, as to what it is that you're doing specifically with your wedding and business, what you kind, you know, what kind of clients you're getting now, how, you know, what's your style, what's your niche, and then I'd love to help answer that question. The question that came in was from Brittany, and she says her experience has been that much of the wedding is in the planning pre-wedding day. I'm wondering, how do you pay assistants for those logistic meetings, vendor meetings? I get the flat fee for the actual day of, but what do you do leading up to the wedding as far as compensation for their time? That's a good question. I don't usually, I do day of. That's my specialty right about now. And I don't have assistants. There are no vendor meetings. So again, it's something you have to build in. When you create a full, and I see two of you on the phone line. Thank you. I'm going to come to you. Thank you so much. It comes down to that thing I was talking about earlier. That's sort of like the training process. So I don't know if I need to have someone there with me at the vendor meeting, but if they'd like to, I'd make that part of their learning process. I wouldn't pay them for that. But I think a lot of people would want that experience. So, I don't know if I'm being selfish, but that's how I would build that in. But for the rehearsal, I usually building their fee, and for the day of, because the family, the bride and groom, whomever, needs to see who that person is and get to know them. And they, the person working for me, needs to see who the key players are. Okay. Oh, and a couple of you are chiming in. Larissa says that's part of learning. She wouldn't pay an intern for that. And okay, great. One of the things that I talk about is being able to say what you do in a succinct way. So if someone's willing to call that number that's in the chat room, I'm going to try to bring you on live in the air. I don't know. It should work. But I'm hoping if you could just take a look, if someone's willing to make that call. I'm not going to announce it on the air, because if you're already on the phone line, it's just problems to dial. So if someone's able to call in, I'm going to bring you in live. If you're willing to let us hear your voice live, it's just a mini experiment. But okay, so I'm going to come to the phone lines. I want to see if this is going to come through. The person with the last four digits, 5896. I'm going to try to bring you on. Okay. Hi, this is Debbie. Who's this?
This is Princess. Good morning.
Yay! Hey, Princess. You're the first person to call in on the new number. Wonderful. I hope you guys can hear Princess. Princess, where are you calling from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
ATL. Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate that. Did you have a question, or did we just ask you, were you doing what I asked you, which was to call in?
Just don't know what you asked, but I do have a question.
Okay.
I came from, I actually came from Hilton and Hyatt doing weddings. So it's a difference when you're trying to strike out by yourself. So what advice would you have for those of us? Because people look at the fact that I came, when they look at my resume, they look at the fact that I came from a Hyatt or a Hilton, and they expect the exact same thing. Although I don't have as many people to provide what they're looking for.
Who are you showing your resume to?
Well, I looked, one of the ladies that I looked at for a wedding through a website somebody provided for me through Georgia Event Planners actually told me to present my resume when we were there, because a lot of their clients asked for resumes. So when I presented it, it was like, okay, you come from this, and this is what certain people are expecting. So what do?
Okay, I'm confused. Are you promoting yourself as a business owner, as or as someone to work for another wedding planner?
No, as a business owner.
Okay.
I came from
All right, I get it.
And he'll doing weddings and events.
Okay. All right. I'm getting some background noise, so I'm going to mute your line while I try to respond to that, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Okay. So her question, I'm just so tickled that the thing worked. And I see two other calls on here. I'm going to come to you. So she's, see, the thing is, when you're a business owner, I might mention in my bio that I worked for someplace, but I'm not making that the focus. So it's really, when you're a business owner, I there's no reason for me to present a resume. That, to me, no slight to anyone, is employee mentality. If you want to know my background, I will say, like, I started working at Tavern on the Green. That's where I got my head start as a wedding planner. But that comes up as just sort of like a nugget of information. I don't want to focus on that. So it kind of, you have to decide, am I trying to reinvent myself? Am I trying to set up my business? And anyone who needs to know, I can tell them I have that experience, but I'm not going to make that the focus. So the person that gave you that advice, I can understand where they're coming from. But if I want to be seen as a credible business owner, I think people are more interested in, can I perform? Can I do what you're hiring me to do? The experience that you have is a good thumbs up for that. But, you know, they're probably more interested in testimonials. Customers have, you know, what is she like when she works with someone else? How knowledgeable is she about protocol and etiquette when it comes to weddings and things like that? Does her price range and her style match with what we're looking for? So I don't know if that helps you, Princess. I'm going to unmute your line real quick. But I think that the resume thing kind of needs to go, that whole idea of a resume, there should be no resume. It's just that I have wedding experience from working at, you know, XYZ, the company that you mentioned. But I don't want to push that at the forefront, because you're not hiring me as an employee. I'm a business owner, and I'm competent, and make sure that, you know, this is what I do. And I'm confident that I can do that. And you yourself, if you believe that you're in that realm, that you are capable of planning someone's wedding on your own as an entrepreneur, then I don't think the resume comes into play. Correct me, you know, guys, I'm ready to hear what you have to say. Princess, I'm unmuting the line. Does that help at all?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in. I'm going to try and take a few of these other calls that are coming in. And have a great weekend, okay?
You do the same.
All right. Thanks. Bye. All right. Great. Okay. All right. So I've got a call with the last number, 8668. I'm going to bring you on. I'm not sure if, okay. So I think some of these other calls have gone. Thank you. Princess was the first person to call in. Okay, 8668 coming to you. Hello, this is Debbie. Who's this?
Hi, Debbie. This is LaTangela or Tangi.
Tangi, how are you? Hi, good morning. Nice to put a voice to the name. Thanks for calling.
Good morning to you. No, I was just calling in because you asked to call the
I appreciate. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. I just wanted to make sure the switchboard thing was working. So say the correct way to pronounce your name now. I have you. Your full name?
LaTangela.
LaTangela. I botched it up last time completely. It's not that hard. LaTangela. Just like it's spelled, actually. LaTangela. Okay. Thank you. And where are you located? Remind me.
I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay. So do you have your own wedding business already, or are you working towards that?
I do. I have my own wedding planning business. I started about a year and a half ago, and I did work with a local wedding planner here in San Antonio. I called her. She asked me to kind of, I called her because I wanted to be credible. I've worked in the hotel and restaurant business and customer service, and I wanted to be credible. I wanted to know that I knew what brides were looking for. So I worked with her for about a year. And then in October of this year, I started working on my own.
Wonderful.
So I've done about six or seven weddings, and I listen to you every day on the way to work and every day coming home.
You poor thing.
listening to older episodes just so that I can make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and doing it the right way.
Super. Oh, good for you. I'm really happy to hear that. So LaTangela is in San Antonio, Texas, and doing pretty well by all accounts. Wonderful. Good for you. I'm really happy to hear that. And it's wonderful to put the voice to the name. Thank you so much for calling in. And let me know if there's anything.
No,
let me know if there's anything I can do to help you as you move forward. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was LaTangela, and I've got one more call because I think I opened up the lines for five calls to come in, and I think all five were kind of tied up. So I'm going to take this last call, and this person has the last four digits, 1936. Let's see who this is. Good morning. This is Debbie. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Yep, this is Debbie. Who's this?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Hi, Debbie. It's so nice to finally get to talk to you.
Hi.
This is Angela Dennis with the Big Day Planner in sunny California.
Angela Dennis.
Oh my gosh, it's such a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, you're funny. Oh, thank you so much. That's such energy. What time is it, like 8 o'clock in the morning over there or something?
So this is my little one-minute spiel. So I'm Angela Dennis with the Big Day Planner, and I work with Christian Asian American couples who want to tie and burn the knot.
Oh, I love that. How succinct was that? Can you say it again for us? Can you say it one more time?
I actually just thought about that while I was on the phone with you, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Say it again.
Okay, so this is Angela Dennis, the Big Day Planner, and I work with Christian Asian American couples who want to tie and burn the knot.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I love that. Oh,
it helps that I'm a marketing specialist in my day life.
It's good when you practice and you figure it out how to say it so that when someone says to you off guard, what do? And you come with that, it's like, oh. So why do you say tie and burn the knot? Give me what.
There you go.
What's the burn the knot part? Why do you say tie and burn?
You know what? Because unfortunately, in the industry that we work in, we know that about 50% or more of people wind up getting divorces after they marry. So, I mean, I want to encourage people to tie the knot and stay married.
Ah, okay.
Hang in there, stick it out.
You see how you did that? You put the burn part in there and it forced me to ask that question. And just like that, I learned a little bit more. How clever.
Yay.
Oh, I love that. Kudos to you, Angela, of the Big Day Plan. Oh, my gosh. I love that. Well, thank you so much for calling in to share that.
Thank you.
So I think I'm going to bring.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, anytime. You know, I think I'm going to bring that in. The next time round, when we do the live, I'm going to say, okay, you can call in and give us your spiel as to how you describe and announce what it is that you do. And maybe I'll come up with some kind of prize for the best one. Oh, I love that. So
yay,
thank you so much. Good. All right, Angela, can you send me an email when we get off the call so that,
I sure will. Debbie.
All right. Thanks
Absolutely.
So much.
And thank you so much for all of the information that you offer. It's been so very helpful. As a new planner starting out, I started my business last November. Yay! So excited. And so having access to someone like you has been a gold mine. So thank you for what you do.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's my pleasure. Oh, wow. I love your energy. Thank you, Angela. And you've made a mark. The folks in the chat room, someone's asking, can you post your site in the chat room if you'd be willing to do that, please?
Oh, I wish I had a site. I don't even have a site
Oh, my
yet.
Gosh. See?
I
look at that.
Really
look at that. All
I've
right.
done 8 weddings in order to get to gain experience. So I've done 8. 5 of those have been Asian American Christian weddings. I don't turn away any business, of course, but my niche, I love that word. My niche is at Asian American weddings.
Sweet. I love it. Okay. Good girl. Send me an email so I can reach
out to
you.
I sure will, Debbie. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And for those of you that called and I couldn't get to you, I saw your numbers on the switchboard. I apologize, but I'll try to get round to that the next time round. But I'm going to wrap it up. We went over a little bit, but I challenge you to come up with your elevator pitch. And if you're willing to share that, I'd love to hear that on the call-in line. And we'll do that towards the end of our next live show, which is on Saturday, June 7th, God willing. But lovely, lovely, lovely. Thank you so much. All right. Well, as always, it's been, Saturday, the live shows on Saturday are great. I always learn something. I don't know about you. I almost always pick up something. Cliff is saying she loves the calls. She loves the call-ins. Yeah, we did it with Blog Talk Radio, and kind of moved away. When I moved away from Blog Talk Radio, we lost that aspect. But trying to bring that back because I like the, you know, to not time. Not everyone has a chance to sort of do the chat, and hearing your voice really makes a difference. Okay, so you know, go out there, make lots of money. If you have any questions, please go on weddingsforliving.com. Either leave me a voicemail. Or type something, type your question in the comment, in the contact sheet, contact form, and I'll be happy to do my best to answer that. All right, Wedding Business Guides members, expect an email in the next few days, which will give us some agenda, the calendar of things that are coming up. I'm Debbie Quain. You've just finished listening to another live episode of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Have a wonderful weekend. Love and success. Bye-bye.